Now today, the Gospel of Luke brings us to the very heart of the matter. It sets before us the question of a lifetime. It is, in fact, the only question that matters. For everything, all of eternity swings on your answer to the question the Scripture asks you today. The way you respond to this question will determine if you go to heaven when you die or if you go to hell. Now, what is the all-important question? It's that one that should be right there on the screen behind me. Who is Jesus? Now, you hear me again. Your eternal future is determined by your answer to that single question. Now, I know the world doesn't want me to tell you that. I know all kinds of things are about to go wrong. Anything that can happen is likely to happen because Satan doesn't want you to hear the all-important question. He doesn't want you to answer it the correct way, because if you do answer it correctly, you will go to heaven. And if you deny who Jesus is, you will go to hell. And everything depends not just on hearing the question, but on the way you answer it. Now, if you're sitting here today and you already know who Jesus is, you should start praying like crazy, because somebody in this room does not know. Somebody's holding out. And the Holy Spirit wants power to move on that individual, and you can give the Holy Spirit permission to move in your prayers right now. So if you know who Jesus is, you start praying. Pray for the one in this room this morning who has not yet answered that question correctly. Pray hard, pray long, pray for the whole time I'm speaking. Now, in the text that Chuck just read to you, it was John the Baptist who asked the crucial question. According to the text, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, "Are you Israel's Messiah, or should we look for someone else?" John was asking Jesus, "Who are you?" Now, honestly, of all people, John should have known who Jesus was. He was, after all, we know from the Scripture, Jesus' cousin. He was the child of Elizabeth and Zechariah. He was the one who leapt in his mother's womb when she heard the voice of Mary, Jesus' mother. Before his birth, John knew who Jesus was. But though they were cousins, they did not live close. Now, I know what your family's like. My father was one of 10 children. My grandfather was one of 10 children. There are Jensens everywhere. All of them are somehow related to me, and none of them do I know well. Okay, I rarely see my cousins. Okay, my closest cousin, the one who I feel closest to of all, lives all the way down in Alabama. I never see him. I don't know what's going on in his life. Okay, when we get together, funerals, we catch up, okay? But I never see him. That's how it was with John and Jesus. They didn't live as far away as from here to Alabama, but nonetheless, back then, the travel was hard, and Jesus and John were separated by time and by distance. They really did not know each other. So as John heard about Jesus' ministry, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask that crucial question. Who are you? And when John's disciples came to Jesus, they put John's question to him just as bluntly as John had asked it of them. Who are you? They said. John wants to know if you are Israel's Messiah, or should we expect somebody else? Now, I kind of suspect, I see this in my mind. I see Jesus kind of go. Okay, I just see him grinning like crazy. And he said to them, "Hey, go tell John what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured of it. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Jesus didn't answer the question by saying, yeah, I'm the one. He said to John's disciples, go show John the evidence. Let him draw his own conclusion from what you see happening here. Tell him what's going on. See, Jesus knew that his cousin read the Old Testament. And he knew that as John read the Old Testament, he would understand that the Bible, the Old Testament, proclaims that when the Messiah comes, those very things to which Jesus pointed would happen. If he just read it, the record itself would tell John who Jesus was. See, Jesus did what the Old Testament said that the Messiah would do. He didn't have to proclaim with his lips that he was the Messiah. He showed the world that he was the Messiah by the things that he did. And Jesus knew what conclusion John would draw on the basis of the evidence. But there were many learned scholars of the Old Testament alive at that time who would not see. Now here's the deal. The evidence is before you. Jesus fulfilled what the Old Testament scripture said the Messiah would do. The evidence is there. So who do you say Jesus is? You don't have to believe. You should not believe on the basis of my testimony or my words. But the record is unfolded before you. Given the evidence, who is Jesus according to you? The blind received their sight. The lame walked. Those who had leprosy were cured at the words of Jesus. The deaf were given their hearing. He raised up the dead. And the good news was preached to the poor. Can I just tell you? There has been no human being in history who has done the things that Jesus did. On the basis of the evidence alone, who do you say Jesus is? The Jews believed that a prophet like Elijah would come before the Messiah to prepare the way for the Lord. So in the midst of the question answering and the evidence giving, Jesus turned to the crowd and he started talking to them about who John the Baptist was. He asked them who it was they came out to see. And then he told them that according to Isaiah 43 and Malachi 3:1, a prophet would come, like Elijah, to prepare the way of the Lord. And he said to the crowd that day that John was this Elijah-like one who had come to prepare the way for the Messiah. The time had come. And the Bible says that the people understood all this because their hearts were open to the message of John and to the ministry of Jesus. The people understood it all. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law, those who should have known John and who should have recognized Jesus by the evidence itself, those who should have known, rejected God's purpose for them. They would not play the part God had chosen for them to play in his plan. because they were too proud to repent. See, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and they rejected John's baptism. See, John was this strange dude. I mean, frankly, he was the David Crowder of his day. He looked funny. He dressed funny. He ate strange food. And those proud, well-educated, well-dressed, wealthy men could not bring themselves under the authority of such a strange-looking creature as John. And because they remained proud and in their sin, they not only rejected John, they rejected Jesus too. Now I'm going to be as blunt as was John. Is that where you are? Are you so attached to your sin that you'll not give it up for your place in God's plan? Do you love your sin so much that you would choose hell to hold on to it, when God is offering you paradise, if you will just repent? Do you believe the lie that the world is telling you? Do you really think that you can find some other way into God's heaven other than by the gate, Jesus Christ, which He alone has opened? Well, if you're thinking that, if you're sitting there proud in your sin, think about it again. For you will lose heaven if you choose not to play the part God has chosen for you to play in His plan. To go to heaven, folks, you must believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to save you from your sins. And if you are too proud to acknowledge Him before other people, the Scripture says that He will not acknowledge you before God in heaven. You want to know what it means? You don't take Jesus now, you don't get heaven then. It is the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to tell it to you. In my heart of hearts, right here, I wish God would open the door of heaven and let everybody in. I wish He'd do that. I really do. Okay? I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And maybe God will hear my prayer and open the gate of heaven and let everybody in. Maybe. You want to bet your eternity on a maybe? You can wait and see. But I'm going to tell you one thing that I know beyond anything else. I know what the Scripture says, and the Scripture says that if you will accept Jesus now, if you will believe in Him as your Savior today, that when you appear before the gate of heaven, He will say, "Open it up and let Him in, because I know Him." It's a certainty. You can base it on the maybe, but I don't recommend it. Go for the sure thing. Acknowledge Jesus as your Savior today, and He will acknowledge you before His Father in heaven. Now, there is this interesting thing that comes, a really strange thing that happens at the end of that passage of Scripture that Chuck read to you. Jesus asks a question. He says, "To what shall I compare this generation?" And He's basically kind of commiserating with Himself about the people who are before Him. It's like really clear. Here is the evidence that is laid out for you. John stands there preparing the way of the Lord. All these things are happening. The Scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. All you have to do is believe. He says, but you won't. You Pharisees and you teachers of the law, those of you who should know all of these things, won't hear a thing. What shall I compare you? What are you like? And then He goes on to say that they are like stubborn children who refuse to play. You can't make me. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do that. I don't want that lollipop anyway. You've seen them too, haven't you? No matter what game you suggest, they will not play. They are just going to do it their way. What Jesus says is that we are like stubborn children. For John came, and they said, "We don't like John. He looks strange, and he's too strict." And then Jesus came, and they said, "Well, we don't like Jesus either, because he's not strict enough." We won't play. Now, here's the deal. See, nothing pleased them. They would not see. Now, here's the deal. It's not that they hadn't heard. It wasn't that they couldn't see. They would not see. Now, listen to me. Are you a stubborn child today? You've heard the truth. I've just told it to you. You know in your heart who the scripture says that Jesus is. You know who Jesus claims to be. But you refuse to believe in your heart. And you will not say the words, "Jesus is my Lord." You listen to me. You may be stubborn children if you want to be. But in the end, you will be the one who loses.